Chaos is an indicator that change is required.
Self-control is strength. Right thought is mastery. Calmness is power. Peace be still.
Patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one you have in mind.
Better to fight for something than live for nothing.
Those who inspire lead.
Daiman Jinman is a Haitian proverb that means beyond every mountain, there's another mountain.
We're going to ask you this question all f***ing day long. Why are you here?
The more powerful language we speak, the less power we leak. My name is Luke Kayam. We are a brotherhood of men committed to show up. This is the Fathers of the Future podcast.
Show up! Don't quit! Do the work! Lead with love! Trust the process!
Welcome to the Fathers of the Future podcast. My name is Coach Luke Kayam, and I am joined by a friend, a brother, a coaching client, and ultimately a new coach at the Fathers of the Future movement, Mr. Jeff Strange.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is pretty exciting stuff. This is the first Monday in the chronological timeline that you are unemployed. I mean, let me rephrase that. You have chosen to leave your past position because you truly believe in this idea over impact over income. And so let's just start there. Today's your first Monday, not working for corporate, not working for a company. How many years did you work for this past company?
Just under 3 years. So November would have been 3 years.
Let's start there. What would a normal Monday be like for you in the grind?
Yeah. So every Monday starts off with a 5 o'clock workout with some friends and pastors at our church. And then, headed back home, clean up. And then it would be a 9 o'clock start time at the office. I usually get in, I wake up to anywhere from 20 to 50 emails a day. And so.
And you're an email zero guy. Let's get that straight.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Inbox zero is kind of the goal. And so. Yeah, I think the first step of the day is kind of attacking the inbox and going after the emails and fighting that battle through the day. So today, waking up and not having to go to a physical office or check my phone for the number status of emails that I've got to look over or reply to or delegate was pretty freeing this morning. I thought I was going to be a little bit more anxious and nervous of like, what do I do? But I had a great workout this morning. I followed it with a coffee at Black Rifle Coffee with a good friend and, spending the afternoon here and then get to hang out with my kids and family tonight.
Yeah, so a little bit different in terms of your daily itinerary, but also roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
And so you've worked for a few companies in your lifetime. You've helped build several companies. Give us a little bit about your background and ultimately, your life as a golfer and how that kind of commingled with business to ultimately get you here on a Monday. And I'm going to keep bringing that back. There's something about freedom on a Monday that you now have. We know the statistics. We've talked about it on this show. Most men have a heart attack Monday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. when they're on their way to their job or they've gotten to their job or they're getting ready to go to that job. We know that about 85% of employees in America are unhappy. We know that about 83% of people are unhappy.
Yeah.
And so knowing those statistics, ultimately you made a decision and that decision has led you not just to Fathers of the Future and doing some coaching and consulting and working and helping people, but to this idea again of impact over income.
Yeah, so it all kind of started when I was 16. I had this moment where I just kind of was questioning some things and where I was as a 16-year-old, which is interesting thing to think about. You know, what am I going to do the rest of my life? Who am I going to be? You know, what job am I going to have? And ultimately, it just came down to serving others. And recently, it's serving all. So it used to be just kind of vague others. Now it's all, it's everyone, race, color, religion, ethnicity, anything, all. And so at 16, I took that calling and wanted to go into youth ministry. coinciding while I was playing golf. So I found golf when I was 18, grew up playing hockey. So it was an easy transition. Got really good quick just because of hockey and the golf translation. And so I started playing in mini tour events, got a little sponsor and kind of rode the mini tour grind, caddied for a while, and ultimately just kind of, you know, gave that dream up as I just knew I started too late and didn't have enough. I didn't have the 10,000 hours in that I needed to go pro. So I figured out how I could turn my passion, which was golf at the time, into a job. And at that time, there was a newer company called Topgolf that was taking off. This was in 2012, 2013-ish. And so I started at Topgolf Scottsdale, which was location number 13 in the company. And I spent 7.5 years there opening and teaching and growing that company from a sales perspective. So I did that. And in that transition from that to the next career, which was kind of like finding my sales identity, I went and worked for a door-to-door smart home security company called Vivint Smart Home. And I went to Dallas for a summer with my buddy Joe Geneza. Shout him out. Great friend, a great mentor of mine. And spent a summer getting my teeth knocked in every day, knocking doors, trying to sell home security to neighbors and families to ultimately help them protect their family and their number one asset, which is their home and their family. Came back from Dallas and my tail tucked between my legs because I didn't do what I thought I was going to do, and was searching and seeking for what was next. And my buddy Jason had just started a golf apparel company out of LA. And I hit him up and I was like, hey man, been in the golf industry, been in sales. I want to come hustle for you if there's a spot. He didn't have anything at the time. So I just kind of wrote it out. I was applying for some solar companies, trying to get into sales any way I could. And ultimately he finally called back. He's like, hey, the guy that was supposed to run Arizona isn't going to do it. You're in. I'll be there over Thanksgiving. Let's chat. So November of 2019, Jason came over to my house, sat at my kitchen table, and we talked about Bad Birdie and what it looked like and how to do it. It was supposed to be probably like a 15, 30-minute conversation in his mind. I think he spent like 2 or 3 hours there just talking about the vision and mission and what he saw and the opportunity of Bad Birdie at the time. And so I started as the Arizona sales rep and just went around to courses, knocking doors, trying to get these polos into any golf course that would, you know, see fit or take us on and give us a chance. And so I did that for a good year, helped build out the systems. You know, there was probably 3 or 4 total employees at that time. And we just kind of grew the thing and just kind of kept going. And my passion was obviously serving all and serving others and golf. And so I found a great niche where I could do both of those things very, very well. So that leads us to kind of here, helped grow the company to, you know, great success, you know, lots of followers, and we're in, you know, a ton of golf courses and every major retail store you could think of. And it was just a fun run. And ultimately, cool part is about a year ago meeting Luke.
Wait, this isn't third person. I'm right here, dude. So hold on, before we get into that meeting, hold on here. You're not a natural born salesman, where you hear a lot of people talk like that, but you've been damn good at sales, especially commercial corporate sales, when you're dealing with some big retail stores around the globe.
Yeah.
So in this new role, not having that, right? How hard was it for you to make that decision to not do what you've been doing for over a decade?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to that impact piece, right? I think in sales, you're fighting for impact, but your goal is income. And when I made that mind shift of making impact the income, putting it on that level, it just changed on what my perspective was and what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And that's affecting people versus just a product?
Yeah, that's a hard thing for a lot of people to understand. You know, I've been coaching for a little over 20 years now in some capacity. It's the only thing I truly know how to do. And every year I get somebody who comes in and all of a sudden wants to do what I do. And so being a coach, I support it, but I let them know, you know, this might be more freedom to the commercial job that you had, but it's definitely not more freedom to the time and energy you're going to put into this. One of my favorite quotes that I heard a famous entrepreneur, Ken McElroy, say, he's good friends with Ken Kiyosaki and the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series. Mm-hmm. And he said, the best part about being an entrepreneur is that you can work any hours you want as long as you pick any 80 hours a week to work. You know, it's kind of the life of an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But you passed on that. You gave that up. You didn't continue down that path because impact over income is something that you truly believe in. Now let's talk about you. And so you've been in this sales position role, a couple companies now. And we get introduced, by the way, this is the third and the final podcast of the spiritual series, episodes 76, 77, and now 78 with Jeff Strange, are accompanied by a few brothers and friends of ours, both Wes Edwards and our good friend Brad Larson. And so I understand it, I get it, but to somebody listening who may only know my job is to get a paycheck, to make an income, to make as much income as I can. You're proving some things different right now. And so, yeah, we met about 6 months ago, introduced by Brad, and we started working together. I saw a tremendous shift in you almost right away. And it was almost like, you know, you were in a ready position for some growth. And I get that a lot. I meet somebody and, you know, my pursuit is a lot less than theirs. They're like, dude, I'm hungry. I like what you have to say. I want more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been working together over 6 months now to get to that place. But ultimately, you know, where was that lack of confidence and certainty in your life, even though you'd been selling millions of dollars in retail? You know, where did that come from for you to get to this place where you're now obviously confident, but confident enough to leave income on the table to do something different? That's a different kind of confidence than the kind of confidence you need to walk into a room. That's like, my confidence is exuding who I am in all that I do enough to do something completely different. And then to tell my wife and my kids and my family and my friends and my former boss that I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it all started with that exact point, right? I had the success of the sales. So I'd finally been in a career where everything was just clicking. We had a great product. I had a great team. I had a great process. I had great relationships with all these retailers and vendors. I understood the process. But what was lacking was the home life. So the mindset going into it when I met Brad in November of 2021 was I wanted to be a better father, a better husband, and a better follower of Christ. And that was my goal because I was lacking in those areas. I was really confident on the sales side. But when it came to spending time with my kids or taking my wife out on a date and looking her in the eyes for an hour and a half over dinner and having a meaningful conversation was just checking the box. I was there and I was doing it, but it wasn't a real connection. And that's what when I met Brad, it was that, like, how do I go deeper in these areas? The crazy part was I didn't know Brad before that. I'd kind of met him. God had actually asked me to ask him to mentor me. And I took a leap of faith and was obedient and did that, which has gotten me to where I am now in the last 6 months or more. So then he introduced me to you. I came over, we spent an hour, we walked and talked around your neighborhood, and that was all I needed. I didn't care what it cost. I didn't care what I needed to do. I was all in. name the assignment, name the book. You wanted me to write a letter, you want me, anything I was in. Because that's how desperate I was to make sure that my connection with my family was number one, and that my connection and my identity in Christ was number one. Growing up in a divorced family, that was the last thing I wanted in my family tree was divorce. My wife and I, Erica, have been married 13 years now. And we joke because my mom said it 7 years, you know, it's the 7 year itch. And unfortunately, my mom's been married a couple times. And so wasn't a great
example. Can't listen to your advice, mom.
Yeah, it wasn't a great example. My dad never got remarried. He was one and done. And so I knew in my heart when Eric and I got married that this was it. There was no option of divorce. That wasn't even a word that we were going to speak of. It was all or nothing unless something crazy happened. And so I was just lacking that. I was lacking that peace because business was good, but home life was rough. And I'd spent the first 2 years at the business just grinding because it was a startup. So it was 80 plus hour weeks just on the road and getting stuff done and building that they were missing out on a lot and I was missing out on a lot.
Now, were your faith-based principles in practice pre-November? Because I met Brad in October, met you in November. We're talking a very, very short linear timeline, less than a year. And I've obviously seen your practice magnify. But was that there already, or has that been a big part of this progression as well?
It was there, but not to this extent. I think I had probably took it for granted a little bit, being a believer since I was 9, baptized at 9, and accepted Christ into my life at 9. I've just kind of gone through the steps. And so as a 36-year-old, you know, you kind of just, it's routine. I know how to pray. I know how to read the Bible. I know how to talk to others about God and the gospel and share my faith and why he's so important. But it wasn't a top three. It was a top five. And so top one was probably work and business and then family and then, you know, friends. And then God was still there, but, you know.
Were you above or below that in that order, that hierarchy?
I was probably below that.
Yeah. Self-love has been something fairly new,
yeah,
I would say, and not just to you, but to me, to the men that I work with, to a lot of people, that idea, again, around serving yourself and feeding and fueling yourself,
yep,
first, whether that be spiritual or physical, it's extremely important, and most men don't do it. They sacrifice. Yeah, working out is not the same thing as self-love,
right?
Having a practice of self-love where you do a series of things, a lot of things to, again, rebuild or to navigate the relationship with self and understand self first and foremost before you can try to understand anyone else,
yeah,
including your wife and your kids. God reinforcing that. And so again, when I said earlier in this podcast that this was the third and final installment, we've put three men together here who clearly all know each other, but also are a very strong influence in their faith. And I think that's extremely important in today's society where, you know, the traditional standard of what we think is a practice, going to church on a Sunday once or twice a year or during the holidays, there are, like everything we teach and train, are so many more layers. And we begin to stack them and build them, they support the other layers. And so hearing that sort of order, that order has changed in your life.
Yeah.
Your priorities have been reordered.
Yep.
Let's start there.
Yeah, so I think now priority number one is my relationship with God, because that's, you know, the creator of the earth and the heavens and people. That's just where it starts. And then it goes to myself and being able to love myself in a way that he loves me. And that allows me to love my wife differently, love my kids differently, love my friends and strangers differently. The way that God sees me and I have that relationship with him allows me to see others in a different light. Because if he can see me that way and talk to me gently and passionately and kindly, and can kick me in the ass every once in a while too, I can talk to others that way in a much sweeter, romantic way of going, wow, you're one of God's children. You're hurting. How can I help you? Or you're joyful. Great. Let's, you know, join together and praise you. for what you've done and celebrate you. And so it's just changed my mindset of like having to put that backwards and in the reverse order.
Pouring into people, was that something in your DNA prior to this past year?
Yeah, my dad being in sales his whole career, I kind of modeled that relationship building. I would go on jobs and sit on the truck, and sometimes I'd go in the houses and see him interact and on things he wouldn't even get paid for, just showing up and being able to show that he cares more about the people than about the job or the product.
Yeah, the first day I met you, you brought some swag, you brought some gear, and I thought that was interesting in character. We talk about this a lot, about some great resources to learn how to get good at not just communication and sales, but ultimately building, fostering relationships.
Yep,
it's a skill. And so Hug Your Customers by Jack Mitchell is a great book that teaches this. If you haven't read that, ultimately, it's not only to bridge customer service or customer experience, but also relationship building as it relates to customers and clients.
Yeah.
And so big believer in that. It was already there in you. And so that combination of servant leadership, of helping others, and contribution is wicked. We don't see that enough.
Right.
And I'm going to say it. I won't use names here, but had a very interesting dynamic over the weekend. Have a good friend who's also a client, known him over 10 years, and another friend who I've worked with. They're working together in a capacity. One is a VC and one is a business owner. And I shared this story earlier today and it just kind of caught me off guard. And I realized that, you know, everybody's mission is different.
Right.
But my client, who's the business owner, his dad passed away. And so I was at his celebration of life on Saturday. A couple hours later, I saw dad number two, who's the VC, and he commented on the way I was dressed. In response, telling him what I was doing, it didn't even cross his mind that the founder of the company that he now owns a part of passed away. And again, no judgment in that. I've been in places before where I'm not aware of a lot of things, but that was one that kind of struck me off guard. And you think about most people now, it's really easy to get out of things, to not show up. Easiest time in human history to just no show, decline an invite, not be there. We're teaching our kids something different here. And that's really what this movement is about.
Yeah.
And so now you've been equipped with these tools to take out with you in the free world. What do you find yourself having conversations about more than anything outside of your home with some of the men that you're speaking to? And now being an advocate for a lot of the work that you're now getting into.
Yeah. So can I share the code?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the code is show up, don't quit, do the work, lead with love, trust the process, trust God's plan, ultimately. And so I think the conversation that I hear and I feel from men in our community, at church and out of church, is this show up consistency mentality. Where people are wondering why I've lost a ton of weight, why I'm more happy, why I'm have a better relationship with my wife, why all these changes, why, like in 8 months, you know, what's happened? And a lot of it is just living by that code, and mainly just showing up and not quitting and doing the consistent work that it takes, which. For me, I told myself the lie that I was lazy, that I wasn't a morning person.
that's a good one. Yeah.
That I don't read books. I just don't do these things. And ultimately, it was just me telling myself lies and excuses. When I flipped the switch and told myself, like, well, you know, why would you tell yourself those lies when nobody else is telling you that? It allowed me to find that gear to show up. I wake up consistently between 4 and 4:30 now. I'm doing some sort of movement activity every morning. And I'm more engaged, I'm more present, I'm more active with my kids because I can do so. But it's been 8 months. It's constant work. I think I've taken a week off in those 8 months, and I spent a week in Mexico with my wife to celebrate, you know, our marriage and our relationship. And I did absolutely nothing for that week, and it was great. But you come back and you put it right back into place. You show up, you don't quit, you do the work, you lead with love, and you trust the process. And it's really cool because a lot of those things I've taught my staff and my teams in sales, but I didn't put them into practice. I did, but didn't tell myself I put them into practice.
Did you have blame behind some of those things that you didn't do because nobody taught you, or you just didn't grow up that way?
Yeah, for sure. I think I probably would put some of that emphasis and blame on my parents of like, well, my dad never taught me how to save money. My mom worked hard, but didn't teach me how to work hard. She was just always gone. And so there's a lot of those things that you feel like, oh, well, I didn't learn that. But it's like, well, did you pick up a book? Did you ask a friend? Which is my number one thing now. It's like, okay, what book are you reading? Why are you reading it? And where do I download it? Or where do I buy it? Or, hey, I don't want to read that book. Can you just give me the, you know, Reader's Digest so I don't have to spend 6 hours doing it? And then you move on.
Yeah, that's a great segue into moving on of where you are now and sort of, you know, switching gears into this new practice, this new version of you. Why compelled to teach, to coach, to give back, knowing, you know, this industry and this business is challenging. Everybody wants to be in it now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we saw this, you know, 10 years ago, a lot of imposters
yep.
getting in it. And so what's sort of different about who you want to be in this new version, let alone this new sort of concept to what you're, and I'll use the term selling, right? But you're coaching.
Yeah.
And coaching has a certain level of influence in it that is directed around impact, but also, you know, there's no rules, there's no guidebook, there's no, like, you're out there on your own trying to figure some things out.
Right.
And so it makes it easy because then you teach what you're living and practicing.
Yep.
But there's also a lot of weight behind that when you're not practicing.
Right.
And so it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
So what is that about what you want to be doing now that is different possibly in your whole lifetime?
Yeah. I think being the example, right? I think we talk about, you know, practice what you preach. Having kids and having to disciple them and teach and train them is number one. Whether I coach a client in my career as a coach or not, I'm coaching my kids and I'm coaching them so that they can coach their kids and they can coach their kids. This is a generational thing now. It's not so much before. I think it was just like, all right, it's me and then my family and then whatever happens, happens. Cool. Good luck. You know, Ray Ev, you're on your own. I'll leave you a couple assets and... But it's really bigger than that. It's about teaching them how to be an example for their friends, for others, so that they can be an example for their family. And it does go back to impact. I think impact is a big piece of it. I think I saw the impact of the crucible in my life, of this brotherhood that you've founded and banded brothers together so that we can learn from each other. And ultimately, I think men and women, I'm finding out too, because my wife is fired up out of everything I've done, is they're longing for this community where they can kind of push the envelope a little bit, where they can be a little gritty, they can talk about real shit, they can do things that aren't, you know, as PC, because that's real life. You know, we talk about all the hard stuff behind closed doors, and then we come out of the closed doors and we're like, oh, everything's fine. And I think that mentality is going away. And so to be able to strengthen people with that and be the example of that, going, hey, let's talk about the hard stuff out in public and then talk about the good stuff, you know, behind closed doors. So the impact is huge. I think just being able to help men, help families, you know, I'll use Brad's terms, have healthy hearts, homes, and habits. Because if we can ultimately affect the king of the household, it'll trickle down. And I've seen that in my life. And not that I'm the king of everything. I'm just the king of my household. And my wife sees the time and effort I put into it. And now it's rubbing off on her. She wants to get up early. She wants to, you know, get shit done. She wants to make sure the kids are in right places, but she also wants to have a purpose as well. And then I'm seeing it in my kids. My kids are, you know, getting up early. They're wanting to do things. And they notice when I'm not there and I am there. And so that's a key factor to me too, that like being an example is what it's all about. We only get, you know, 18 years with our kids, and then they're off on their own and they get to make their own choices and be their own, you know, adults and humans. And so the more we can impact them now, the greater it is. And so back to the question is really just, you know, seeing the community grow of people that are not behind the movement of like, ooh, this is, you know, cool. Let's all become life coaches and help change the world, but like actually changing the world one human at a time.
Clear, beautifully stated. And so you said you lost a little bit of weight in these past 6 months. Your training has kicked up a notch physically.
Yep.
What are you signed up for? And share with the listeners just how you got there.
Yeah, so November 12th is D-Day for a 50-mile run. So I think we're just shy, you know, just over a month of training left. And ultimately, I think, you know, this whole process has been about doing things that I've that I'm uncomfortable with. And getting rid of the word lazy in my life has been a key of that, of just not accepting it. You know, nobody wants to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Even the people that do, nobody wants to do it. But it gives you a sense of purpose. And when you're done with it, you're like, yeah, why don't I do this every day? So it really, this race started from when we did Grand Canyon. I lost, so since January, when I did my Crucible, I've lost probably just under 20 pounds. And
which by the way, you guys can't see this, okay? But what does your license say, how tall you are?
5'6".
Yeah, so 20 pounds out of 5'6"er,
yeah,
is it's pretty tremendous.
Yeah, and there was a lot of you know, the last 3 years, a lot of stress and, you know, different habits that were going on that have all been cut as well. You know, practicing how I eat and drink and move is been a big factor. But we did this Grand Canyon trip and it whooped my butt, and I kind of was like, okay, what can I do next? Well, actually, I came home from that trip and I told my wife, I said, I'm never doing that again. Check. Done. And then like a week later, somebody was like, yeah, we're going to do the Grand Canyon. I was like, yeah, I'll do it with you. And she's like, you said you weren't going to do that again. So it just...
First time I went, I said I'd never ever go back.
Yeah.
I've been back 30 times.
Yeah. And I think it's when you accomplish something that's hard, you kind of want to keep testing yourself on what can you do next. So I'm not a runner. I've never ran before in my life. I don't compete. I walk the golf course, if that shows you how fast I run. So I've been having to seek advice and wisdom from other people that have ran and done distance training and kind of make it fun. I've made it more of a connecting piece, which is what I love to do, is connect with people. And so I've been able to ask guys that have done Ironmans and say, hey, how do you train? How do you eat? I've worked with you on different plans and what to do. And so I think it's there's a fun side of it, especially being an adult and not being an athlete anymore. You know, you want to find something to kind of fill that void. You know, my son's playing baseball now. I was playing catcher on Saturday as game, and I was like, man, I wish I could go back and do this again. So you got to find new adventures. And I think that's kind of the fun piece of it, is you can, there's opportunities out there. You can go hike a mountain, you can go run a marathon, you can go raft down a river, you can go skydiving. Like, there's so many adventures that we can do out there that are low maintenance-esque that still provide that grit and athletic side.
Yeah, it's lifelong, right? You're going to have to move lifelong, so you might as well make it fun and exciting and find some challenges to push you. You have two young kids.
Yep.
Can you give us the dynamic of having a boy and a girl and them being just a couple years apart?
Yeah, so they're 16 months apart, 8 and 6. Yeah, it's been a blessing and a curse. My boy is a spitting image of me to the T, has my energy, has my just flair and fun for life. And then my daughter is very much like my wife, shy, introverted, until she breaks out of her shell. And then she's, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, the star of the show. So it's been fun. It's been, growing up as an only child, I didn't have any siblings. So I don't know, sharing was wasn't a thing for me. I didn't have to share anything, where now both of them have to share. So it's kind of an interesting lesson. I'm learning a lot from them, actually, of like, okay, this is how they see the world. This is how they share. This is how, they think about others. Grayson's teacher had a birthday last week, and he noticed that she goes and sits with the other teachers at lunch. And so they went to go get her a cupcake for her birthday. And Grayson said, no, she eats with her other staff teacher members. Can we get 6 cupcakes? Because that's how many teachers sit with her. So he took 9 cupcakes so that she could share with all her friends. And just seeing that little like innocence in an 8-year-old to go, okay, he picked up on that. What am I missing? How am I not being engaged and present in some of these things? So the dynamics are super cool. And then of course the daughter, she's just, wrapped around my finger. She gets whatever she wants. So.
And so you have a picture of your 7-8-year-old self. Does that visual reminder put you onto their level when you're in the fire? Because a lot of guys, I talk to, as I'm sure you're beginning to have these same conversations, because they work even 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
They don't do anything else 40 hours a week, let alone know how to have a conversation with a 7 or 8 or 9-year-old.
Yep.
And so because of that, they don't connect more, they connect less.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I sent you a picture this weekend, right, of Grayson playing Legos and he and I just chilling in the bedroom, this Saturday morning. And that reminder of the picture in my truck that just shows me to like be a kid and have that kid mentality. I think it helps in every aspect. It helps in work. It helps in life. Helps being alone. When you're, okay, what do I do? I've got an hour to kill. I don't know. Let's go do something fun. Let's go jump off a rock or, hike a mountain. Let's call a buddy and just tell him, I love you. Because that's what these kids do. They show up at school and they're like, what's up, man? What's up? To all their friends, and they just want to play and have fun. So the flip side of that is just getting them to do their homework. But but it's been, it's been a good just reminder of like, how life can be so sweet and fun that we take it serious a lot. That's a good thing, right?
There's it's only a polo, bro. I've heard you say that a couple
it's
times.
Just
before.
A polo, bro.
It's just a polo, bro.
That's what I told my whole team. At Bad Birdie is it's just a polo. We're thankfully I don't have to deliver babies or do heart surgery or anything like that, because that stuff takes a lot of time, effort, and energy.
Or be a police officer or Border Patrol. Yeah. Quick plug into our next 3 podcast series. We are going to be interviewing some police officers and Border Patrol agents in our next trilogy series. And so shout out to them. Anybody who protects us and puts their life on the line needs to be regarded as more than just a government employee.
Yeah, 100% agree.
So we're going to get them on the show, and we're going to keep this one pretty short today because I got a feeling you're going to be our first return guest, if not repeat guest. But I'm going to ask you the same question that I normally ask everyone at the end of these podcast experiences, except I'm going to switch it up a little bit. And so instead of telling us what you want your legacy to be on your last day, 1 year from now, knowing what I know about you and what you've been able to accomplish by simply following the reminder to show up, 1 year from now, what would you like to say to that person about what this next year is going to be like for you?
That person being me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 1 year from now, I'd like to say that he didn't take the foot off the gas, and but he kept just going hard in the paint and impacting as many people as possible and sharing the love of our Father to them and knowing that their identity in Christ is what matters most. I don't know. I used to want to put a number on it. How many clients, how much money, where are we going to be? But I think the impact is just as long as I was just staying present in the moment throughout this next 12 months and just showing up to meeting people's needs and my own needs and my family's needs is what I would tell that guy.
Clear. It's pretty simple, not easy. But for anybody listening to this, I believe that the overarching message in this episode by Jeff is to simply let go of a lot of who you thought you were in order to just get to understand who you could become. And it's not this idea about we're constantly chasing perfection.
Right.
It's like, hey, I grew up a certain way. And because of that, I thought that was the way the entire world was. And so it didn't just take a weekend or a book to remove some of those character defaults. It takes a massive action plan that constantly needs to be updated.
Yep.
And so that's really what we're doing inside of the Fathers of the Future movement is we're teaching men how to live better lives through this idea of understanding themselves. Through that understanding, also letting go of who they've been or the title of who they've been,
yep.
Because that's not truly who you are as a human being. And then ultimately, you know, filling some of those empty spaces with actionable targets and plans. Like, I got to learn some things I don't know.
Yep.
And so you learned a lot in this short window, but give us just kind of a, what would you say would be the greatest implementation, aside from waking up early and showing up and climbing a mountain before sunrise?
Yeah.
Right? What would you say is the tool that you are taking with you that you'll probably end up using for the rest of your life? And then to the person listening, why would that tool be beneficial for them?
Yeah, I think the most important tool that I've connected with and that I use on a daily basis is my relationship with God. I think being able to tap into his power of knowing that he's in control and I'm not, that he knows all, that I don't, that I'm going to get off course, but he'll help correct me, that I don't have to do it all. My dad used to say it all the time, let go, let God. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. but it's true. When you can give up self-control, when you can stop being selfish, and you can in certain areas, and you can just be present and walk, and be an obedient steward of what he's given you, whether that's your talents or your time or your energy, it miraculously changes the outlook of who you are and who you look at and why you look at them in that aspect. I would say, I mean, even in early high school, I was like a rage monster. And you can even ask my wife, I've punched a few items in our house and those things have just gone away because they're not, those were things that I thought I needed to do because it made me feel better because I was in control. But when I let go of that control and I kind of let go and let God, things just started changing dramatically. I couldn't, with your help in these steps, I couldn't have ultimately done this without the constant relationship and reliance on God and finding my identity in him and knowing that I'm loved no matter what. I think that's the biggest thing that I could tell anybody is just knowing that you're loved, whether you're doing something bad or not in the moment, like you're always going to be loved. He's always going to love you for who you are, no matter what you've done, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, how it's done, the ultimate love. And that's hard for people to grasp because it's hard enough to love ourselves, but then think about somebody else loving us that way. And to be able to know that you're ultimately loved 24/7, 365 until you're dead and beyond has a greater impact of how you live and how you walk and how you treat people. Whether you're in a good mood or bad mood, you can flip a switch real quick knowing that like, hey, you know what? They're probably in a different spot than I am right now. Let's shift the mindset and move forward.
Coach Jeff Strange, first time we've had you on this show and we truly appreciate you, brother. From a coach to a client, you've done a phenomenal job working on yourself and just constantly improving. From a brother to a brother, it's a beautiful thing to see this, to see it not just affect you and your family, but our community and this country and this world and everyone in it, right? If you can change one person, you can change the world.
Yep.
And so you've done that. As a friend, it's just great to know I have somebody like you in my corner and to go back one more time. And as a coach, the men that I know that you are going to radically impact their life for, it's a beautiful thing to witness. So I appreciate you for being on the show. Thank you for being here. If you got some value out of this, all we ask in return is that you simply pay it forward, send it to somebody, text, email, or put it on your social media and let them know about these conversations that we are having, interviewing men who are on a path to do whatever they can to be a father of the future, to be present, active, and engaged. Mr. Jeff Strange, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Peace.